Paul Meacham, Jr.
It's been said you can herd sheep and drive cattle, but you must lead men. In many ways, this is very true, and for that purpose, God has provided the leadership that man needs. We, of course, see leadership in Christ Himself and the example that He gave that we must follow. We also see the apostles as they lived this earth, and the words of Paul, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." But He has also provided leaders here on earth, leaders of the Lord's church. We know of them as elders, and that's our topic today as we explore God's truth for the world. We welcome you to today's broadcast and invite you to take your Bible and study along with us. God has blessed us in many ways. We can see this when we look at nature and all of the provisions that are made for us, but we also see it when we turn to God's Word, when we see that we serve a God who is so loving that He gave us His revealed will so that we can know what to do and know how to please Him. And we invite you to turn your attention to that book today as we take our study from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. This letter was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, a church that he knew very well and that he loved very dearly. And he opens this book by identifying himself and Timothy as the bondservants of Jesus Christ and addresses the letter to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And this verse has within it the entire organizational structure of the church. We see the letter addressed to the saints. These are the Christians in Philippi. But he also addresses the bishops and the deacons. These are special offices that God has created within the local congregation, and we're trying to learn what God wants from those offices and what kind of men God wants in those offices. We began by looking at the fact that the Bible uses three different terms for a bishop. One is the term of bishop itself, meaning an overseer. It's from the Greek word episkopos. We then see the Greek word presbyteros, which means one who is older. We refer to this person most often as an elder. And then the third term is that of poimen. It means to be a shepherd, or to be a pastor, to feed or to tend a flock. And this, of course, is figuratively done by the elders when they tend the flock of God, meaning Christians. We see all of these, all three terms used, in one context in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Where elders and shepherds and overseers are all used to refer to the same office, the same men, and of course, that is the way God has organized it. Now, man has divided those into separate offices, has separated the responsibilities and the authority that rests within the eldership into different offices, and created a man-made system of ordination. We need to return to God's pattern and do it God's way. Last week, we looked at the kind of man that it takes to qualify to serve the Lord's church as an elder. For since this is a position of great honor, and since there is much authority that goes with the eldership, we need to be sure we have qualified men in that position. We learned that an elder must be one who desires that work. He cannot be forced into it. He must do so willingly. He must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. A gentleman, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. He told Titus in Titus chapter 1 and verse 6 that it must be a man who has faithful children. So we understand that he must lead them well and that they must be faithful servants of God themselves. We then see he must be one who has a good report or a good testimony of those who are outside of the Lord's church. We're given the reason for this in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 7, because if he does not, he will fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. He needs to be a man that even those who disagree with him have learned to respect. If a man may not agree with him on religious matters, but he will know that this man is a loving man, a caring man, and a compassionate man, one who truly and genuinely is interested in him and his well-being. And then, even though they may not agree, there will be a mutual respect between them, and a good report can be given. The qualifications do not end here, though, for as we mentioned last week, they are divided between those positive traits that a man must possess in order to qualify as an elder, and the negative traits that a man cannot have in his life and still be qualified. And today we turn our attention to those negative traits. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 3, we're told that an elder cannot be given to wine. He's not to be violent. He's not to be greedy for money. He's not to be quarrelsome, and he is not to be covetous. Let's look at each one of these in a little more detail as we go through. First of all, not given to wine. This same requirement is listed in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 7. An elder of the Lord's church cannot be one who drinks alcohol. The drinking of alcohol affects our minds. It removes from us, at least on a temporary basis, the ability to make proper judgment. When we drink alcohol, those things that we learned, the things that we learned were wrong and therefore we don't do them, are soon gone from us, and we will turn and do them. It is true that a man who drinks, while under the influence of that alcohol, will do things he never would have done when sober. A man who is willing to give up his judgment, especially when we saw last week that he's a man who must be sober-minded, of a sound mind, and he's a man who must be able to make reasoned judgments. A man who is willing to give that up for the momentary pleasure of the release that alcohol might give him is not suitable to serve the Lord's church. We also see that he cannot be a violent man. Oftentimes, alcohol and violence go hand in hand. But we also see that violence is that comes from someone who cannot control himself, and we'll speak a little bit more about that in just a minute. But as our Lord came and preached a gospel of peace, and he requires of us that we live peaceably with all men, as much as is within us, as much as depends on us, we live peaceably with all men, then certainly a leader in the Lord's church cannot be a man who is violent. He cannot be one who is always looking for a fight. He also cannot be greedy for money. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, we're told that the man must serve willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. He must actually desire the service for the good that it provides, and not for anything that he might get from it. Now, the Bible does allow for elders to be paid for the work that they do. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, we're told, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor." This word honor is actually meaning that which is paid them. And we're told why. For the Scripture says, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages." So a man who serves well as an elder is worthy of pay. Now, that is a very rare situation, at least here in America. Most often, we do not have men who are considered full-time elders. Rather, they are men who work a full-time job and take on the duties of an elder in addition to that. But it certainly would not be wrong to have men who work full-time in the role of being an elder and are paid for doing so. However, any man that would enter the office for the purpose of the money has entered for the wrong reason. He is one who is greedy of money, and that man is not qualified to serve the Lord's church as an elder. We also see that he is one who must not be quarrelsome. In Titus chapter 1 and in verse 7, we're told he cannot be self-willed or quick-tempered. Some people always look for an argument, and it doesn't matter what the issue is or who is around them, they're going to find a reason to argue. An elder cannot be such a man. Rather, we learned last week he must be one who is gentle, one who possesses a reasonable and a sweet forbearance. This, of course, is not a quarrelsome man. This is a man who is willing to see both sides of an issue, who is willing to deal with each person to the very best of his ability, who is a peacemaker, for blessed are the peacemakers. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, then, in verse 6, we also see that he cannot be a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. A novice is one who is new, who is a beginner. This would mean that a person who is a new Christian is not qualified to be an elder, no matter what his physical age, for he is a babe in Christ. We learned last week that he must be one who is able to teach and rules well his own house and has a good report from those that are without. All of these things would be very difficult qualifications for a new Christian to meet. But the real reason is given for us in this verse itself, because one who is an elder has great authority, and there is great honor that is given to him, or at least should be. And one who is a new Christian could easily allow himself to be puffed up and prideful. He must be a humble man rather than one that is filled with pride. He must be one who always thinks of others better than himself. That's a requirement for all Christians, not just for an elder. So we see that a new Christian, a novice, cannot be qualified as an elder. Rather, we need to see the kind of humility that we found in the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12, from verses 2 to 7, Paul tells of a man who was caught up into the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, he said he couldn't tell. As we continue our reading, we see that he's actually talking about himself. That this man was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He says, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees in me or hears me or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Now we know about Paul's thorn in the flesh, and oftentimes people want to know what it was without considering why he had it. We are told that God gave him that thorn in the flesh, gave it to him so that he would not be exalted higher than he should be. If the Apostle Paul, such a great and mature man in Christ, was one who could fall prey to being exalted in his own pride, then certainly any man that might serve as an elder could fall prey to the same thing. We need to be sure that we look for men who possess all of these qualities, all of the positive ones without any of the negative ones. This would still not be a perfect man, but it would be a godly man, and a man who is qualified according to God's requirements to serve as an elder. Until next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.